Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Unexpected day off. We're back here for the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the new blog went up this morning, so swing on over there and check that out. They go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Swing on over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, 3E.
Yeah, so now, sadly, Dan, you know, I was disappointed. You know, I had that wonderful internet issue yesterday and just couldn't stay online long enough to actually do the podcast. We'd have probably lasted about 10 minutes with the wind and stuff I was getting here would have just kept knocking my internet off. I really wanted to ask you about the fact that, you know, the Vikings decided not to pick up the $18 million option on Adrian Peterson's contract. He's a free agent. You know, I've heard just about every landing spot in the world for him. Where do you have him going since he was your guy?
He's not really my guy. He's just on the team that I like.
He's your guy.
He's your guy. I don't know. I mean, where do you put him? Houston? That's where he's going to end up, right?
You know, there's so many interesting possibilities for this guy. And, like, the weird thing, I heard a lot of guys ripping him yesterday because, you know, he's had a couple injuries and he's 32 now, talking about how he's not an every down back and teams have to realize that when they bring him in, that, you know, they're not getting an every down back. And, you know, it was just kind of like, wow, you know, what did this guy do to you? But, you know, I mean, I've heard everything from, you know, the Packers to the Falcons to the Patriots. The new team that came up today is the Raiders. You know, apparently, you know, obviously he wants to go to a contender. So, you know, we're not going to see him in, like, you know, a Cleveland Brown uniform or a San Francisco 49er uniform. You know, he's headed to a contender. It's just, you know, I've even heard the Cowboys because Jerry Jones likes him. So it's just kind of like, okay, well, which one?
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of figured he wouldn't go to the Cowboys because of Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. I didn't think you'd want to put him on the back burner. And Peterson doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would agree to share the position.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I found odd about that is here you got the kid, because he's basically really is just a kid, who just led the NFL in rushing, and you're going to bring in, you know, the guy who has been the best running back in the NFL as his backup? Do they split carries? How does that work? So, it'll be one of those, you know, those fun things for us to watch, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think if you, granted, you know, the sophomore slumps happen and things like that, but I think if you take that away from him, you're just hurting yourself, hurting him and the team. Especially in a day where everyone wants to get younger, I don't know why you'd want to go after a guy who's had two major injuries and who could potentially run two plays in, you know, the fourth game of the preseason, meaning week four. Or, you know, the fifth game of the preseason, week one, and be out for, you know, 14 weeks.
Yeah, it's, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. You know, I like the Raiders idea because, you know, Latavius Murray hasn't proven anything as a number one running back. So, you know, like, I think a Peterson ad there could be, you know, something, you know, really good. Obviously, you know, the Packers need a guy. You know, the Eddie Lacy thing hasn't worked out. You know, I think the issue inevitably becomes who's going to be able to pay him, you know, or who's willing to pay him, because he's probably going to want number one running back money, even if he, you know, and we won't know if he's that guy until we see him play again. So it's going to be a bit of a risk for a team, but, you know, if there's any guy out there worth gambling on, it's Adrian Peterson, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's only, what, 32 years old?
Yeah, so yeah, 30-10. You know, 33 is really the downhill point. I thought I saw a stat that says there's been, it's either 4 or 6 running backs in the history of the NFL have gained 1,000 yards after the age of 33. So it'll be interesting to see, like, how many years he gets and where he goes. But, you know, he's also on the market with Jamal Charles. You know, the Chiefs released him after 2 injury-plagued seasons. And Charles is actually the guy, I believe it's the last 7 years, maybe the NFL's leading rusher. So there, you know, there are a couple of competent guys, veteran guys out there for teams looking for running backs. It's just, you know, you're definitely going to have to make sure that these guys are healthy. You know, because they're both coming off significant knee injuries.
I mean, what other teams do you see in need of him? The Jets?
Yeah, you know what's weird is, like, there's a lot of teams that could use guys like this. You know, the problem is, you know, they both came out and said that they want to go to contenders. And, you know, they're, you know, if you're a contending team, you have a quality running back. I mean, there are some exceptions, you know, like the Giants can use a running back. They did release Rashad Jennings. We mentioned the Packers. The Lions could use a quality running back. You know, the Seahawks are a possibility. They have Thomas Rawls, but he's been a bit injury plagued as well. Maybe there's a landing spot there. You know, the Patriots haven't re-signed LeGarrette Blount, but, you know, they normally don't go with that one back system. So I don't know if either guy fits there. Maybe the Ravens and then the Raiders possibly. So, yeah, you know, it's a limited number. I mean, you know, if they're not willing to go to, you know, a Jet team or a Charger team or even a team like Jacksonville, you know, because they want to contend, it kind of narrows the field on where they're going to end up.
You know, being the issues that the Raiders have had, mainly the injury of Derek Carr, and, you know, the relocation issues, do you think they're in a position to go after Peterson? I mean, of the teams you named, I could definitely see him landing in those spots, but I think if you're looking for a team to make a splash, that would be the one to make it with.
Yeah, it would definitely be a surprise. I think maybe you would, you know, you could call it that possibly. You know, like I said, a lot is going to depend on, and, you know, who has, you know, who kind of has what for salary cap room. You know, that's always going to be an issue for teams on, who can afford what and how that, you know, how that kind of works out. And I did see a report where the salary cap is going up. I don't know if that works out for this year or, if it's, you know, when that actually kicks in. So, you know, it's off of dealing with the NFL, you know, is the fact that it's kind of like, okay, well, who has what in cap room that, you know, they can step in and make this pitch or, you know, however it kind of works out. And, you know, obviously, I mean, you look at a team like the Patriots, they're not going to pay him. You know, I mean, LeGarrette Blount scored 18 touchdowns last year for him. He played for $1 million. Oh, you know, if you want to go to the Patriots, you're going to have to take a lot less money. Now, looking here, it looks like the Raiders have just about $48 million in cap room. So they could bring him in. You know, the teams, you know, those kind of contending teams, the Patriots are almost a 62. The Colts, who I forgot to mention, are at about $60 million. And then the Raiders are right there at 48. So they're the top three teams with the money. You know, the Vikings, of course, have said they want him back. They've got just under $40 million in cap room. So, you know, this is all compared, Dan, of course. The Cleveland Browns have a little over $106 million in salary cap space. So there you go. But, yeah, you know, so, yeah, it just depends if those teams believe in him and believe in either of them. If it's not Adrian Peterson, maybe it's Jamal Charles. You know, if you believe in him enough to bring him in and pay him like he's a number one, you know, and then it may boil down to how many years he wants. You know, at 32, you know, you can't be handing these guys, you know, four-year deals or anything like that. You know, even though it is the NFL and the contracts are a little weird, you know, you don't want to be throwing that kind of money on your salary cap books for 4 years for a guy you might only have for one or two seasons.
You know, that was kind of going to be my next direct question. You're Adrian Peterson. You're looking to sign a deal. Are you looking to sign a deal for the money or to a team that could possibly win?
Yeah, you know, he's came out and said he wants to play for a contender. So I guess it kind of depends on what, you know, I mean, you got to think with the years and the money he's made, money shouldn't be an issue right now. You know, it should really be, you know, winning a championship because, he's hardly been to the playoffs with the Vikings. He's never been in a Super Bowl. Jamal Charles is actually in the same boat. Neither guy's ever played in a Super Bowl. So you got to think they would be willing to take a little less money to, you know, go to a team who has a shot at that. Again, I don't know if they would take a little less money like the Patriots would probably offer them. But, you know, maybe you go to, you know, the Raiders for a little less or the Colts. You know, I mean, if you could team a Peterson or even a Charles up with Andrew Luck, you know, you could have a really good 1-2 connection there, you know, or a Packer team. You know, I mean, there are teams that are, you know, kind of on the verge besides the Patriots that, you know, guys like this could step in and help immediately. You got to figure they would take a little less to go there. So, you know, and then, you know, while we're on football, Dan, I think this is possibly the best story I may have heard at least all day. I don't know about, you know, all month. Well, it is just the first of the month, maybe all of last month. You know, you and I both listen to the local sports radio stations, and when they start talking about the Bears, the number one thing is that Jay Cutler has to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, my new thing, Dan, of course, is when guys don't do their research, and I like to harp on them because they have all the connections we don't. And I actually did not even realize this when I was thinking about it. Maybe they didn't either. But these morons have been on their shows harping for the Bears to get rid of Jay Cutler, not even realizing, Dan, Cutler has not been medically cleared and the Bears can't trade or release him until he's medically cleared. Why did no one look into that before they started crying about Jay Cutler?
I'm trying to think of something. I've got nothing.
You know, I mean, all the, just the bitching and moaning they do on the air about how this guy has got to go and he's the worst thing that ever happened to the Bears. and not one of them who are connected in the Bears locker room, you know, they have reporters inside the locker room, bothered to look into the fact that he wasn't medically cleared and he couldn't be sent away if they wanted to send him away. So just incredibly unbelievable that, you know, the stupidity of these guys, you know, not to go and look and think that, well, hey, he was hurt, maybe we should look into it. You know, just drives me nuts. So yeah, cry all you want about him. You know, you can't blame the Bears for this one. There's nothing they could do about it. You know, and you know, unless they could agree to some type of medical buyout, I don't know if they'd still do that in the NFL. You know, if something like that came up. But yeah, there's nothing you could do. You got to wait till he's medically cleared. So you know, you guys got to shut up.
Yeah.
So you know, and then the other thing, you know, Dan. No, go ahead. I thought you were done talking about Cutler because I know you hate him too. Oh.
Well, no, I was going to say, you know, kind of keeping with the Bears news to make everyone happy. Head coach John Fox out of the Columbine that, and I mean, you got to brace yourself because I know this one, you're not going to know what to do with this information. It's going to be so shocking to you. You might just cancel the podcast for the rest of the afternoon. But that they need to do things to win. I think quote of the year.
Yeah, God, I hope you posted that on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Jeez. Yeah, hey, did it take him 2 years to figure that out?
Did he come here? I thought he's been here longer.
No, it's only, believe it or not, it's only been two seasons. He's coming into his third season as Bears head coach. So, I did see, Dan, that Colin Kaepernick has opted out of his deal with the 49ers, so he'll be on the free agent market. Do you think he, I mean, as bad as the quarterback play is in the NFL, while his record as a starter sucked, he was just 1-10. You know, he threw 16 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions. Somebody brings this guy in, right? And if they don't, is it more socially driven than athletically driven, I guess would be the way to look at it?
I think it would be so socially driven. I mean, you know, and I hate to be sticking on the Bears because we're here, but you let go of Jay Cutler, whoever you draft is not going to be ready to play in the NFL. But they wouldn't go after him for the social aspect of it. Because you would get a lot of people, I think, complaining. But I think if a team is able to get him to sign and to just shut up and play football, maybe things can work out. But, you know,
yeah, and, you know, like, I, you know,
maybe he should just,
you know, like, I
out, retire and become a politician.
Yeah. You know, I didn't have a big, huge issue with him not wanting to stand up to the, you know, for the anthem. You know, that's one of the things you have to understand about this country is that's your right, even if it is the anthem. You know, you have the freedom of choice like that. So, you know, that didn't bother me as much. The 1-10 as a starter kind of bothers me more than anything. But, you know, you look at some of the quarterback situations, you know, the Jets are desperate for help. The Bills may need somebody. God only knows what's going on in Cleveland. And then, you know, if Jacksonville decides to move on from Blake Bortles, which I think would be incredibly stupid, you know, they're going to need somebody. So, you know, there are, you know, openings out there and, you know, options out there. You know, and you mentioned, you know, obviously the Bears. So, you know, this is a guy who has taken a team to a Super Bowl. You know, and the team went downhill. I mean, it's not all his fault, but you know, it's like anything. The quarterback gets too much of the credit when you win and too much of the blame when you lose. So yeah, I would think he's got to find a home somewhere where he can at least compete to be a starter, doesn't he?
I would think so.
So.
Or maybe he'll come back to the Cubs and pitch.
Maybe. So that is always possible. You never know if somebody would actually do that. But, you know, and then, I guess the one last football thing I found kind of interesting, the Patriots have came out and said that they have no plans to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, Tom Brady's 40. They're going to need a backup. Do you buy this, or is this the old, you know, a team's going to have to come, you know, now a team's going to come to him and say, hey, wait, you're not going to trade him, but what if we give you and up the offer?
I think that's worth it. But again, I mean, I thought that this report kind of came out a couple months ago, but they weren't, or was that just the sources before the official announcement?
Yeah, that was just, more people giving their opinion than it was actual fact.
No, so. I mean, I think they'd be wise to just stick with them unless they can get the 49ers or the Bears or the Browns to make the trade and get that draft pick. But other than that, I don't see the point of letting them go.
Yeah, like anything else, it depends on, what you're going to get for them. But, either way, it's, if they do decide to hold on to him, I think it's a good move. You know, Brady is going to be 40. God forbid, anything happens to him. You need a competent backup, and Garoppolo showed he can be effective in their system. It wouldn't kill them to hold on to him. And, then if they decide to move him, they're probably going to get a lot more than what he's worth in a trade. So, either way, it works out for them, I think.
Well, I think the only two teams that would be the Bears and the Niners, because the Browns still have RG3, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't made any moves on him, so he is still technically there. So. But, all right, well, enough of that NFL offseason talk. We'll be able to talk about the combine here real soon. It is trade deadline day in the NFL, Dan, and there were quite a few moves. It wasn't as active as last year, and I actually saw a report that said it may end up being the slowest deadline since, like, 2013. But one of the big moves I wanted to kind of run by you here, because it affects the Capitals, they went out and got Kevin Shattenkirk. He's the defenseman from St. Louis. He was the top guy on the market that everybody wanted to stay away from because he's in the last year of his deal. And, if we send all this to him, what if he doesn't re-sign? And now the Capitals did give up a lot to get him. They gave up two centermen, Brad Malone and Zach Sanford, a 2017 first rounder, and then a conditional 2019 second rounder. The Blues are going to pick up 39% of Shattenkirk's remaining salary. I don't know how the hell they came to that number. But, the Capitals also got a goalie by the name of Phoenix Copley, who's a minor leaguer. Now, to me, this signaled that, Washington is going for it, because they were the team who weren't afraid to go out and get the guy coming to an end of a deal. And he is one of the top defensemen in the NHL. So good, real good pickup for them is how you look at it, I guess.
I would think so. I mean, I think that was one of the things that hurt them against Pittsburgh. For whatever reason, I don't think the defense was where it should have been. I'm picking up, of course, last year's playoffs.
Yeah, he'll be a big factor in that. But, I kind of like when teams are, not afraid of this kind of thing. You're getting a guy, he averages – quite a bit of ice time, about 20 minutes of ice time, which is, really big. Obviously, even for a defenseman, with St. Louis in 61 games, he did have 11 goals and 31 assists. That's pretty big for a defenseman. The big negative was he was a minus 11 But that was more the Blues as a whole. He'll turn that completely around with the Capitals because, you know, they're an offensive machine and they're going to score while he's on the ice. But, you know, it's kind of nice to see a team not, well, you know, he's coming to the end of the deal and we, you know, we don't know if we want to re-sign him, you know. You know, okay, so even if he's a rent-a-player and they win a Stanley Cup, it's worth it, right?
Yeah, well, and I think one of the reasons they needed to pick up on him, too, was Brooks Orpik. You know, today, well, they're not playing today, but at the moment he was listed day-to-day. So, you know, he wasn't ready for the return yesterday. And, you know, you need to shore up. You need to have all your ducks in a row, as they say. And I think their offense is pretty solid. I don't, you know, there's really no complaints on that. And I always confuse Justin Williams for a defensive guy when he's actually a winger, even though sometimes I feel like he plays like more of a defensive guy sometimes. So it's, you know, I think with the issues with Orpik, I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons they were looking to shore up another defensive guy.
Yeah, you know, now some of the bigger names that moved, you know, obviously some of these deals are a little more minor than others, but like the Bruins picked up Drew Stafford from, whose symbol is that? Is that the Maple Leafs? Yeah, I think it is. You know, it was odd. Mark Street actually got traded twice. First, the Tampa Bay Lightning acquired him for the Flyers for Valerie Filppula and two draft picks. And then they turned around and sent him to the Penguins for a draft pick. So that was kind of odd that it was like, well, wait, we got this guy just to turn around and move him. But, you know, longtime veteran Jerome Iginla got shipped off to the Los Angeles Kings. Thomas Vanek went from the Red Wings to the Panthers. So let's see if we got, you know, locally here, the Blackhawks picked up Johnny Oduya. You know, he came back to the Blackhawks for a draft pick and a centerman by the name of Mark O'Neill. You know, Jordy Benn got moved by the Dallas Stars as well to the Canadiens. Alex Burrows is headed to the Ottawa Senators, and Brian Boyle went to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Not to mention a couple days ago, Ben Bishop went to the Kings from the Lightning. So yeah, Tampa Bay really made some. Yeah, Tampa Bay really made some moves. They're almost like in full rebuild mode. So, yeah, you know, we had some movement, not as much as I think a lot of people expected, but, you know, if you're pressed up against the salary cap, you're pressed up against the salary cap and you can't do much. You know, once the Blackhawks made the Oduya move, they were done because they're right at the salary cap line. You know, I know a couple other teams weren't, you know, were a little farther away, had a little more room to, you know, to make some moves. But yeah, you know, nothing huge today. I mean, I think teams just trying to shore up their, you know, their certain areas. But you know, it's interesting to see the Kings kind of, you know, loading up. They got Ben Bishop. You know, they picked up Jerome Iginla. You know, I mean, a couple veteran guys. You know, are we going to get one of those wonderful Los Angeles King runs through the playoffs like we did a couple of years ago when basically Jonathan Quick won him the cup?
I think so, but you know, that was one of the things I wanted to ask you with Ben Bishop going to the Kings. I thought that was kind of interesting, being out, you essentially have two number ones as your goalie, right?
Yeah, well, you know, Quick has been hurt most of the year, so I think, you know, the object is to, you know, bring a guy like Bishop in who can handle the load if need be. So, you know, it's, and then I believe Bishop is in the last year of his contract. So it's another kind of rent-a-player situation where they'll get a little relief after the year is done. But, yeah, they, you know, like any other grading thing, you know, we get winners or losers. And this is Barry Melrose, who does his commentary for the Mickey Mouse Network. And he has the Washington Capitals, Minnesota Wild, the Chicago Blackhawks, and the Pittsburgh Penguins as his trade deadline winners. So there you go. Some of the he's got a bunch of teams in the middle. His losers are the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Philadelphia Flyers. And while we were talking about the Kings, Dan, he actually says he doesn't understand why they added Ben Bishop. And then he didn't get the addition of the 39-year-old Aginla. So he didn't like the Kings' moves.
Well, not everyone has to, right?
No, you know what I mean? That's the, you know, the good part about this is, you know, obviously he's much more connected to it than, you know, like you and I are. But, you know, I mean, these guys are wrong from time to time. Well, not even from time to time. They're wrong just like everybody else. And, you know, and I mean, you know, you got to play the games. You know, eventually you got to get out there and skate, you know, and you got to see how it matches up. I mean, you know, I love the fact that the Capitals went out and got Shattenkirk. I really think that makes them the front runner to win the Cup, but they've had so many playoff issues in the past. You know, we just don't know. You know, I mean, do those ghosts come back up again, or is this finally the year that, you know, they get it done?
I hope it's not the Hawks. I hope it's them.
Yeah, you want them and the Hawks to meet in the finals, don't you? So. But, yeah, you know, it'll be interesting. And, you know, we do have the big game tonight. Speaking of the Hawks, the Pittsburgh Penguins are in town to face the Blackhawks. Now, that's really not a rivalry game, but it is Rivalry Wednesday. It is on the NBC Sports Network. Johnny Oduya will not play, and Corey Crawford is still out sick. So it's Scott Darling in goal, and then they just put Nicholas Chalmerson on injured reserve. So he's out as well. The other game tonight has the Carolina Hurricanes at the Tampa Bay Lightning. So there are only two games in the NHL tonight for that. But that's a pretty exciting matchup, right? Blackhawks, Penguins.
Oh yeah. I mean, you've got the defending Stanley Cup champs going against three-time winners this half of the. Or, you know, during this decade. So I know it's not technically a rivalry, but I think it's a game that, you know, with the passion behind both teams' fans, that you really get a national game that's going to should get the coverage that it, well, you know, it's not going to get the coverage, but, you know, the hockey fans are going to be watching it.
Yes. So that means you're going to be watching it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the Blackhawks are actually on a four-game winning streak, and they're 9-1 in their last 10. Pittsburgh lost their last game, and they're actually 5-2-3 in their last 10. So they come in here scuffling a little bit. Even on the season, they do have one more point than the Blackhawks. They have 84. The Blackhawks have 83. So it should be a really good matchup. I worry about the Hawk defense a little, you know, without Chalmerson, and then, you know, Johnny Oduya obviously not being able to play tonight. That really kind of favors Pittsburgh. And then, of course, you know, you got the number two goalie going in, you know, Scott Darling instead of Corey Crawford. I think the Blackhawks need a big night out of like Kane or Taze or, you know, one of those lines to really get rolling and, you know, try to put the game away early.
Well, I mean, Pittsburgh is filled with goal scorers. And, you know, once they get on that side, they keep the puck over there. So, you know, Letang, obviously, Patrick Crosby, but just to name a few. And then they're not easy. Their defense, they're ready to fight. You know, they're going to take out a team like the Hawks, who aren't as aggressive as everyone has always pointed out. They're more of skaters. Sorry, my hockey knowledge is limited, but I do know something about these two teams.
Yes. You know, yeah, don't ask Dan about, you know, like the bottom teams. If they win, Dan sees a lot of the winning teams. I don't know how he manages to do that. You know, don't ask about the bad teams. And you can ask about bad NBA teams, but, you know, you don't ask him too much about the bad NHL teams. He's not on top of them like he is the other, you know, some of the other stuff. But, yeah, I just, you know, I mean, you know, this is one of those games that, you know, I look forward to this. I mean, this is one of those matchups where I'm like, yes, I really want to see this game. So, you know, I just hope it's a good one. Sometimes, you know, you get these games and it's, you know, one team goes out and puts up, you know, three or four goals and it's, you know, just kind of like, oh crap, you know, here we go. They jumped out early and it's going to be a bad game. So I'm hoping for an exciting game, even though I would like to see the Blackhawks win.
Yeah, well, I mean, these two teams especially, they've had, you know, weeks where there was a couple weeks out of the – or a couple games out of the week where on both ends they were putting up high, you know, five goals and shutting the other team out. But then again, getting it reversed on them, you know, two nights later. So that's why I think this one makes it a pretty cool matchup. And it's wise for NBC to put a matchup like this on TV or NBCSN.
Yeah. Here you go, Dan. On NHL.com, they got the five players to watch in this game. The first guy they have is Sidney Crosby. No, no surprise there. The second guy, believe it or not, is Jonathan Toews. Now, Toews' line will match up against Crosby's, so that should be pretty interesting. The third guy is Evgeny Malkin. Then here comes Patrick Kane. Of course, no surprise there. And then what they wrap this up with so much, not as a player, but as a possible Stanley Cup preview. Well, Stanley Cup finals preview, as it would be, because these two teams would have to meet in the finals. So, yeah, it's definitely a possibility.
Oh, yeah.
I know teams normally don't repeat. So, you know, I could see it being difficult for the Penguins to do that. But, you know, we are talking, these are, you know, definitely two marquee teams. And, you know, I'm hoping the matchup lives up to, you know, what it looks like it's going to be. So, Patrick Kane gets a hat trick tonight, Dan. Is that what you're predicting?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yes, it would. So...
not for anyone.
Very much
want
so.
To give up their hand.
Especially since it's on my. Yeah, well, you know, I've always wondered that, you know, Dan, I know it's kind of quirky, but it is still hockey at least. If you were at a game and you had one of your fitted hats on, are you throwing that on the ice?
My wife's nephew already told me, make sure you always bring a second hat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually probably a good idea. You know, you bring one of those goofy snapback hats that you don't mind getting rid of.
Exactly.
So, you know, yeah, I would have never. Well, you know, to be fair, I don't know if I would wear a baseball hat to a hockey game. I mean, even if it was of the hockey team, but you know, just one of those things. I that just kind of popped into my head. I was thinking, yeah, would Dan be that guy? You know, and I've never really noticed, Dan. I guess we'll have to look one time and see exactly, like, what kind of hats are thrown onto the ice.
Yeah, well, I mean, the diehards are, of course, going to throw their, you know, their hat on the ice. Like I said, my nephew's already told us, bring a second hat with you if you do wear one. So I do have my, you know, one of the championships, the one that I don't ever wear because it's not the fitted that I wear. And you know, that's where you got to let your old-timerness kind of let go because they're no longer considered just baseball hats. They're just called fitted caps. And they, you know,
yeah.
You know, they go across all sports now. I mean, the hats that I like to wear, the ones that, you know, you used to have before they all got ruined in a box. The only ones they don't make them for yet is NASCAR.
Yeah, which is a surprise. So.
Yeah, well, they make the other ones, but not the, the 5950, which is the high quality, you know, that's your Major League Baseball cap that's pretty much pioneered the whole thing.
You know, and I mean, I've always worn, you know, other hats, you know, just not baseball teams. So it's just kind of the lingo is, for me, it's always going to be a baseball hat. You know, it's never going to be a fitted cap or anything like that. It's just, that's what I'm used to calling it. But yeah, you know, I mean, even growing up, I always had different, you know, hats with different sports, be it hockey or basketball or, you know, football, just depending on what it was. So, but yeah, I think, yeah, the next time I watch a game and a guy gets a hat trick, I'm going to look and see if I can kind of pick out if there's, you know, fitted hats being thrown or if they're, you know, the snapbacks. That just, I don't know why that just interested me. Just the goofy thing kept me.
Well, the snapbacks are definitely cheaper, so, you know, you'd want to be throwing those on the ice. My wife's nephew was kind of giving his mom some crap on Facebook a few days back because she was at a Preds game when, I don't remember who it was, but someone on the Predators scored a hat trick that night. But I think she was up way too high, so I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah.
She's not going to make it on.
Yeah, that's kind of the other thing. I mean, do you throw it from the, you know, the upper deck? I mean, what are, the 300 level? I mean, what are your chances of actually making it onto the ice? So, you know, I mean, would the person you hit down below just pick it up and throw it on the ice for you?
Probably.
So,
you know, I mean, depending on how they are, some people, you know, depending on the quality, if it still has the stickers on it, you know, you just bought it from a souvenir shop, I might keep that one.
Yeah, could you imagine that? Going, oh, okay, cool. Thanks. I just put this one away.
I mean, and to your credit, though, New Era with, you know, with the 5950s, which is the, you know, basically the one that set Major League Baseball and all that, they really didn't get the official licensing for, you know, like the NBA or even just, you know, let's take the NFL up until a few years ago. If you remember a few years ago, the sideline caps were made by Reebok. And although they were cool, I ordered it and it was a complete waste of my money because they only came in that stretchy, small, medium, large, extra large. And I don't fit into that, you know, small, extra large, large. I needed a double X, but they didn't make it. So.
Yeah, that figures, right?
Yeah. I ended up giving it to my nephew, and, you know, who knows what happened to that.
He threw it on the ice. Oh, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, it was a Bears hat, so I don't know.
So, yeah, now I was telling Dan before the podcast that I mentioned I had some internet issues yesterday. I attempted to tweet Dan right around this time yesterday to let him know that the Golden State Warriors at the Washington Wizards game was on NBA TV. And just before I sent the tweet to Dan, Kevin Durant got hurt, Dan. He got what they called a grade 2 MCL sprain and a tibial bone bruise. He is out indefinitely. He'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks. But everybody is under the impression that he will be returning for the playoffs. How vulnerable does this make the Warriors, Dan?
I think it does against the Spurs. But they're, you know, essentially in the same position as the Cavs. You've got Love out, now you've got Durant out. I think I saw that this morning and retweeted it, or, you know, the Facebook, Sports Time Radio. You can find it on our Twitter or the Facebook page. But I guess first I want to know from you, how does this affect your team, fantasy?
Yeah, you know, that's just kind of my luck.
You didn't give up a whole lot. You didn't give up a whole lot to get them, though, right?
No. No, you know, luckily, you know, it wasn't too much. It's just kind of how you know, this is prototypical of what, you know, like my luck would be. You know, it's just like, okay, great, here, I get this great player, and then he goes out and gets hurt. So, yeah. You know, it's like, okay. You know what I mean? By the time he comes, you know, our season will be over. So.
Yeah. Now, I mean, do you think, I haven't really heard anything, obviously, because I first read about it this morning. But do you think there's a lot of people out there, you know, the Kevin Durant haters who are kind of like, serve you right and sticking it in his face kind of deal? Do you think there's jerks out there still like that?
Yeah, you know, sadly, there's always people there like that. You know, I don't understand it. You know, whatever. You know, I don't know what the heck he could have done to you to make it that, you know, that big of a deal or that bad of a deal. You know, I get it. Okay, he left your team and you're upset because he left your team, but, you know, you don't ever wish anybody to get hurt.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I was just kind of interested. I know they're like four games up on the Spurs in the standings. There's only about 20 games left in the regular season. Do you see them holding on to the number one, you know, not that the number one seed is a big deal for teams like this, but do you see them holding on, or do they maybe drop down a spot and they end up being a number two?
I mean, this team had everybody before Durant, so I think they could hold it together and stay at number one. But at the same time, if I'm Steve Kerr and I'm, you know, the players and whatnot, if we learned anything from last year, it's that place didn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
Because they lost in the finals. So for me, I think it kind of is, you know, with this team, you're not going to do anything to lose games. You know, you're not going to pull a 76ers out. But at the same time, I think, you know, as the last week, the last 10 days of the NBA comes close, you start looking at what would be the better matchup, you know, us against the 8 or us against the 7. Well, obviously speaking as a Warrior, not me personally,
yeah.
But...
Yeah, well,
you know,
looking at it, you know,
more or less
now,
how they look at it.
Yeah, right now they would draw the Denver Nuggets as a 1-8 seed. I think that's a better matchup than dropping it, you know, ended up falling into 2 and having to go against Oklahoma City. So, you know, maybe that's better. You know, I think the team that makes this interesting now, Dan, is, you know, if we get a – there we go. You know, if we get a Houston Rocket, Golden State Warriors matchup, I think this brings the Rockets closer to them because, you know, they can really score. You know, they love to shoot the three, and they're an offensive juggernaut. I mean, I think they're the second highest scoring team in the league right behind the Warriors. You know, does this close that gap enough to where, you know, because Durant is a 7-footer. Not only is a great outside shooter, he's also 7 feet tall. I know people forget that. Does that close that gap enough for the Warriors to maybe steal a series win? Or the Rockets, I mean, I guess I should say, steal a win against the Warriors?
I think it's possible, but, you know, this is still the Warriors who, you know, won it and made it back there again without Durant. You know, who did they lose? You know, I don't know if anyone was that significant that they lost.
No, you know, I think about the biggest change they had to make was let Andrew Bogut go. So, you know, they didn't lose any, you know, they still have obviously their big three in, you know, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. You know, and you will, I mean, if Durant comes back for the playoffs, really does any of this even matter? I mean, it will obviously take him, you know, a little bit to get back in game shape, but, you know, they're still going to be a great team, right?
Yeah, they're still going to be a great team.
You know, now I heard somebody, Dan, try to sell the Los Angeles Clippers today as a team that can knock the Warriors off. Can you be that guy?
Well, no, they didn't get Carmelo.
So you can't get on the Clipper bandwagon and they're gonna get a big win.
No,
I'm thinking about it though, here's the actual NBA schedule. The New York Knicks are at the Orlando Magic. That game's actually going on right now. The Knicks are up 15-8. The Washington Wizards at the Toronto Raptors. So two teams at the top of the Eastern Conference there. The Dallas Mavericks at the Atlanta Hawks, the Philadelphia 76ers at the Miami Heat, the Denver Nuggets at the Milwaukee Bucks, the Detroit Pistons at the New Orleans Pelicans. The first game on the Mickey Mouse Network tonight, Dan, is the Cleveland Cavaliers at the Boston Celtics. We got the Indiana Pacers at the San Antonio Spurs, the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Utah Jazz. The night in the NBA wraps up on the Mickey Mouse Network with the Houston Rockets at the Los Angeles Clippers. But, Dan, there is one more game. This may be the best game on the NBA slate for the season. And I decided just for tonight, we're going to have you pick it. All right, Dan, we have the – are you ready for this one? The 9-49 Brooklyn Nets, who are on a 16-game losing streak – in Sacramento. Now the Kings are 25-35, but they've lost two in a row since shipping DeMarcus Cousins off. Who gets the win, Dan? You got the Nets breaking the streak, or does it go to 17 tonight?
It goes to 17 tonight.
Oh, Dan's going with Sacramento. I'm going to put a big exclamation point next to that pick. So, you know, I know you've had quite a long break, but when I saw this game tonight, I was like, yeah, I gotta let Dan pick that one. That's definitely the game to pick tonight. I am disappointed, Dan, even though it's a 9:30 start, that it's not being televised. Could you imagine who would watch that, Dan, if it was on the NBA TV or if it was on the Mickey Mouse Network? Would you have to be strictly a Kings or Nets fan? And I guess, are there any Nets fans? So
I was going to say Jay-Z, but, you know.
Yeah, do you think he's even watching the games anymore?
No.
So, yeah, what a terrible, terrible team, you know. And, you know, the weird part is, like, you know, every time we talk about this, it's just like, oh, well, you know, they can just turn it right around in the draft. And it's like, no, they can't. They don't have any draft picks. You know, they dealt them all away when they picked up, you know, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett from the Celtics. And it's like, okay, great. So they, you know, there's like no way to fix this team. So it's just got to stink if you were or are or want to be a Nets fan. It's got to hurt. But all right, Dan, I need you to solve this dilemma for me here. You know, the Sixers have came out and announced that Joel Embiid is going to be out for the remainder of the season. Now, while this is his third year in the NBA, technically he's a rookie because he didn't play either of his first 2 years. He's only played 31 games this season. But I keep hearing a lot of the media guys talk about how he's the front runner for Rookie of the Year. Can you give a guy who played, you know, less than half a season the Rookie of the Year award?
Did Gary Sanchez get it?
No, he did not.
I would have to kind of go that route and say no.
You know, I know statistically wise, you know, he's putting up fantastic numbers, and I believe he is way ahead. Let me see if I can actually find some other rookie stats here. He averages 20.2 points a game, The next closest guy to him is his teammate, Dario, I believe it's Saric, who averages 11.3 points a game. He's also leading all rookies in rebounds with 7.8 rebounds, and Saric is again second at 6.2. I find it hard, Dan, just to give this guy the award because he's just played so minimal games, right?
Yeah, but I don't know that that for the NBA a requirement.
Yeah, that I don't know. You know, yeah, if you have to play a certain amount, so. So, you know, just one of those.
I'm assuming qualified, so I don't. What I meant was, I don't know that it's an issue for, you know, the voters. As long as he's met his requirements, I would think.
So, yeah, I don't really know if there were, you know, if there are really any, you know, any requirements for it, except you have to be a first-year player. So, you know, I don't think it's like baseball where you have to, you know, you have to play so many games, or you have to, you know, you have to kind of do these kind of things. But so, I don't know. You know, it just, you know, it always seems a little, you know, it's like, man, you know, it's 31 games. It's not even half the season. Yeah, you know, and it's just like, so. I don't know. Is it just me? Is that the problem?
Well, I mean, it's hard because I don't. Not every NBA guy comes in and plays all 80 games, right?
No, you know, I mean, there are some who play. You know, have played quite a bit, but I think the problem is there's no real rookie star this year. You know, I mean, Embiid has really been the guy. I mean, in most past years, you know, you've had the Andrew Wiggins or the Carl Anthony Towns, or you've had guys like that. You know, this year, besides Embiid, I mean, you look at the draft and it's like, got hurt. So he's been a non-factor. And they said it was just kind of a two-man draft. It was Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram, and Brandon Ingram ain't done anything. So you're kind of left scratching your head for who to pick, or you know what to do with the award. So I don't know. You know, are you giving it to Denzel?
Not after watching last.
All right, the music means it's time for Dan and I to head out, but we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do this all again. You know the deal while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out the new blog that went up this morning. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. We greatly appreciate it. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. You can get Dan's pick there or at Dan Z Man. Remember, there's threes in that. I only had to go with one game for him, and I just had to do it. He likes the Sacramento Kings over the Brooklyn Nets in the NBA. Get on that Twitter feed. Let Dan know what you think. As always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.